Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Do you ever notice how much we use the word just? Hey, what do you do? I've heard this so many times. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. What do you do? I'm just the teacher. What do you do? I'm just a construction worker. What do you do? I'm just a student. And then students even get even deeper layers. What do you? I'm just a freshman. Thinking that when they're sophomores, they'll not just be but they get to be sophomores, and then what happens? They're just sophomores. And then they get to be juniors, and then, you know, I'm just a junior. And you'd think by the time you get to be a senior, someone would be like, yeah, I'm a senior. But, you know, then there's people in college who are more mature and got more education and got more going for them. So then by the time you're a senior, I'm just a high school student. You know, and I already said it, but I've heard so many stay-at-home moms say when they're asked, who are you? I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And I've heard so many of you, our friends, who are part of this church, who are stuck in the mission and are finding freedom over there. I'm just living at the mission. I'm just. And I wonder if I gave you a piece of paper right now and a pen, and I said, well, who are you? If you would just write the word, I'm just, if you could fill in the blank, what do you think you are? I'm just. Well, today I want to answer the question, who are you, by telling you that you are so much more than just. Now, let's be clear, I'm not talking about the word just as connected to justice. I'm talking about the word just as connected to a qualifier diminishing who you are. Because there's nothing just about you. And I need you to get this because I believe God wants me to help you get this. Turn to your neighbor with your friendly finger, point at him, and say, you're more than just. You are not just anything. Here's who you are, and I'm going to show you this biblically in a minute. I want you to get to your neighbor and say, you are unique and awesome. Now, I know what some of you are thinking because I've been there. You know, depression has haunted me over the years, and it was fighting at me this week. I've been hearing those voices, and I'm like, no. Some of you, when somebody points at you and says, you're unique and awesome, I know what you're doing on the inside because it's what I do often. You're like, uh-uh. I'm an idiot. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. Well, let's just be clear. You are an idiot. You are a failure and you are a loser. And yet none of that keeps the reality from being reality. You are unique and you are awesome. And your worth in life does not hinge upon your successes or your failures. And your value as a human being has nothing to do with the stupid thing that you did last night. Your value and your worth has everything to do with the one who created you uniquely and awesome. And so you need to know that you are unique and you're awesome. I'm going to tell you this biblically here in a minute, but before I do that, I want to prove to you that you're unique and awesome. I want y'all to look at your fingers and try to look at your epidermal ridges. Look at that. Your epidermal ridges right there and your fingerprint are entirely unique. No one ever has, nor no one ever will, have a fingerprint just like yours. Point at yourself by looking at your epidermal ridges there and say, I am unique. You see, according to some smart people who I was reading this week, the odds of somebody having an identical fingerprint of you, like you, is 10 to the 48th power. That's 10 with 48 zeros. That's a quadrazillion trillion. I have no idea what it is, but it's a lot. There's no one who's ever going to have a fingerprint like you. And your fingerprints are so unique that if your fingerprints were found all over a crime scene, just your fingerprint alone will send you to jail. That's how unique you are. You're also unique because your DNA, your deoxyribonucleic acid, your double helix right there, is made up of over 3 billion nucleotides, and no one has ever had DNA like you. No one. You are unique. And I might add, pretty awesome. Now, here's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people who've made big mistakes in their life. I'm talking to people who failed regularly, even maybe yesterday or last night. Quite frankly, I'm talking to some of you who are an idiot on your way to church. And in spite of that, I am saying, yeah, you're still unique and awesome. You're so unique that your DNA, let's just say you were a criminal who had no fingers. But if you were to leave a little bit of your hair, if you have hair, a little bit of blood or a little bit of spit on a crime scene, your DNA found there within is enough to send you to jail for that as well. Because nobody has DNA like you. I want you to know that you're the only you that there is. It's unique. And it's awesome. What's the next picture? Is it the iris? Oh, it's the teeth. Everybody repeat after me. It's okay. Did you know that even your teeth have no matches in the world? Nobody has teeth like yours. Unless they're fake and they come from a mold, that's a different story. Happens. But your teeth are entirely unique. Nobody in the world ever has had or will have teeth like yours. This is proof that you're unique and awesome. And get this, I read an article this week where this lady was attacked by this guy trying to steal her purse. She fought back. He bit her on the arm. The bite mark alone was enough to prove that he was the assailant and sent him to jail. Because nobody has teeth like you have teeth. And then there's the iris. Did you know that this is a new form of biometric recognition? That some countries, some borders are actually doing away with passports because the iris recognition scan is unduplicatable. Because no one has an iris like you have an iris. And it cannot be copied or duplicated unless you've seen those really gross movies where the villain pulls out the eye of the one guy and brings the eye by itself. But other than that, but that would be a little fishy anyway if you're crossing a border, right? Your iris is so unique that there are several places in this world that are doing away with passports and other identification programs, and they're simply going with iris scans because there's no iris like your iris. You are unique, and you're awesome. You're unique, and you're awesome. Now, your uniqueness and your awesomeness has much more to do than identifying you at a crime scene. Somebody say, thank goodness. There's something more to your uniqueness and your awesomeness. And I want to read to you from the book of Psalms, the one from 139, verses 13 through 16. If you got a Bible, open it up. Mark it up. If you got a Bible app, open that up. Take notes in there. Psalm 139, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. This is the psalmist. When you read the Psalms, you realize there's a truth that was there as well as here, and that is, if you got a pulse, this guy had issues. This guy had insecurities. This guy had body image issues. This guy could relate to you and me. He's talking to God. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, When I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Let me remind you who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people who have, to some degree, a bit of self-loathing. I'm talking to people who don't like themselves. I'm talking to some people who are suicidal in this room. I'm talking to people who find it hard to believe that anything about them is created wonderfully. And so I want to be clear that this text was written by the psalmist, inspired by God. Do you believe God inspired the Bible? This is a bigger than I can handle thought. When God inspired this text thousands of years ago, he knew that some of you would need a word from him. And you knew that some of you would need to see from the Word of God what God thinks of you and to describe who you are. This is for those of you who think you're too stupid, too dumb, too short, too tall, too skinny, too fat. This word is for you from God himself. You are created in your mother's innermost being. Wait a minute, that's not true. You were created in your innermost being by God. Deep on the inside, God created you. See, God had a hands-on bit of work in you. Some people have looked at you and said, man, that dude is quirky. And they've tried to make you feel less than because you're a little different. How many of you, you can raise your hand or just do it on the, have felt like you're just a little quirky compared to others? Yeah. If you're, let's have a quirky army. Stand up if you want to be a part of this quirky army. Just who am I talking to? Yeah, quirky. And if you know somebody that you're sitting next to and they're quirky, you say, you better stand because you are kind of quirky. Well, here's what the Bible says about that. You created my inmost being. God made you quirky. God made you the way that you are. The world might say you're weird, but God says, I think you're wonderful because I made you that way. You can have a seat. And then the text goes on to say, God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You see, before you began, he began working on you. Before you began, he began working on you. While you were still in your mama, God was working to do something amazing. And you were that amazing thing he was doing. You, my friends, are unique. And you're awesome. I praise you, the psalmist says, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You were not a mistake. You were not an accident. Your size was not a mistake. Your struggle with male pattern baldness was not a mistake. You know, I joke about that a lot, and I've come to grips with being bald, but I'm telling you, that was rough on me when I was in college and started losing my hair. And I thought, man, I'm just going to be an ugly bald man. And it really tore me up for a long time, and I see some dudes in the NBA, my brother Costa Kufis. I know, Ben, you know who he is. My man's going so bald, but he's in denial. And I want to say, brother, there's freedom. Just shave it off. But I know why he's not. I was there because he's thinking, the world says you got to have a lush head of hair to be handsome. But I'm saying to the Costa Kufises in the world, even baldness is beautiful because God made it. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. Everything about you he made fearfully and wonderfully. And I hope I'm speaking to some of you who've never heard this in the heart before, but are beginning to hear something deep inside, because when you realize that God made you the way that he made you, the voices diminish. And the posture gets a little better. And the confidence in life rises. And your impact increases. You are made fearfully and wonderful. And the psalmist would say this, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Turn to your neighbor with your friendly finger and just tell him, you're wonderful. Now that just feels a bit weird because we're not used to telling people they're wonderful. We're not used to hearing we're wonderful, but I want you to know from a biblical perspective, God made you and you are wonderful. I don't care how crappy your life is right now. I don't care how stupid you were this morning. You are wonderful. Let me remind you what we talked about last week. We talked about creation, and as awesome as all of creation is, it was never called very good until humanity was created. You, my friends, are very good, and biblically, you are wonderful. Tell your friend again, you're wonderful. I know that full well. Well, the psalmist has a moment of freedom right here. I know that full well. See, the Hebrew word there, no, and again, I don't know Hebrew, I could just study. I don't want you to think I'm smarter than I am. I'm pretty smart, but not that smart to know Hebrew, right? You can find this out as well if you did a little research. The Hebrew word no is yada. Say yada. Jerry Seinfeld would say yada, 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 right? You remember that? He's a Jewish guy. Yada, yada, yada. Say, I know, I know, I know. How many of you parents have heard your kids recently say, I know, I know, I know? Well, no, you don't know. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you. Sorry, tangent. I know. But the word yada, it's a deeper word than what we get to know. We can have, I know, right? I know. I know Ed Sheeran. I listen to him. I know him. Yeah. But do I really know him? You have no idea I'm talking about, some of you. Who's Ed Sheeran? He's a short, red-headed Irish guy who's really good musically. I don't know him, though. You see, the same word no here, yada, is the word described back in the book of Genesis. It's a little bit of a scandalous thing. I know we like kids in worship and we're training them to be worshipers, so here it comes. The Bible says Adam knew his wife and she was with child. Now that's knowing. Can y'all connect a dot there? So the knowing that the Bible is talking about is a deep, intimate, full-fledged knowledge that just consumes the whole body. It's not just a mental acquiescence or a head nod. I know. It's a no in the fullness of the being. And this is what the Lord wants for those of you who don't like yourselves to know today. He wants you to know fully in everything that you are, in the depth of your being, that you are wonderful. So that you can say what the psalmist says, I know that full well. Now, if you're like me, you might need a little help to get to that place where you know it in a full body sense, in a freeing kind of way. You might need to go and get some therapy. Therapy was good for me. Some of you might need to go to the Lord on a regular basis and say, Lord, I'm feeling kind of yucky. I need some words from you. And you need to hear the Lord speak to you. Some of you need to combine those two. Some of you are beyond doing it on your own. And you just might need to go somebody and say, hey, I need some positive things because I'm not feeling it right now. So that you can know full well that you are wonderful. See, the truth of who you are is too powerful for this just to be a sermon topic. The truth of who you are is enough for you to do whatever you need so that you can agree with the psalmist and say, I know that full well. Anybody else have body image issues in their life from time to time? Okay, just me. My frame was not hidden from you. Wow. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And let's go back. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your frame is the right frame God intended. It's the right one. Who are you? You're wonderful. You're unique. You're awesome. There's nobody like you. Who are you?
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.